SBS Radio.
7 billion stories and counting.
SBS Radio. Broadcasting in Dinka.
SBS Radio. Ekiel netongijang Dinka.
Oya ne jang dinga chang ko wecha ke lor wecha ke motorete we ko ye ping tong jeng ne anto we katin ga dena pinyom ne to to walk tin it ne Australia ko wai kiel ne tong jeng ko SBS dinga to ke bian tong de to ke te do ku wan e kiel pan do Australia wo wai ke ping ne internet ne www.sbs.com.au /dinga kuna korba walk ping ya ne nong in telephone smartphone kin lobo wo yung ne SBS Radio alo bat lum ku bataw no mobile dui way kiel ne ta tir ku tum ni yom sabit ku ta de tam ya dur ni yom lat ne tek Sydney ken Melbourne way ku de kiel law num ye jam ne ka won kor ku ke bu ke di le ko ne tong jem ku ne ka lo ro ne pin nom ku pan Australia ke bian ne no ko to pan Australia dil gor bu ke ke pin ka lo ro ne gan to ke ke tin ye ka ke ki ya ku way jam na ku kul ke lo ro to we ku ke lor kuna no ku kor ba le wo ke ya ku ye pio miat ke ke lo ku ke lo no Facebook dai ne SBS Dinka kuna kor ba wo yo ya ke in jam mun wo ne telefon na to no Australia ke yen e telefon ne Melbourne ne abaj biak dongwan dongwan terwan ku dongwan ro ro kwa bai ku dich ye na ba ye ne tong le ngelit be lo ko ko nim ke 0399492205 na korbo wo yu ke intot te pe ke in tau 61 ni ye to ku nya 0 ne kam de 3 ye ne tan ni wo yu we cha ke lo
Hello and welcome back to SBS Dinka Radio, and thanks to all our audience who took time to listen to our interview with the former president of Ethiopia, Mengistu Haile Mariam. The interview was divided into two, and part of it is going to be this one, and most of the questions that are coming here will be based on random questions. That was in relation to what advice the former president gave to the South Sudanese politicians, the relationship of South Sudan and Ethiopia, and the role played by the South African countries. These are some of the things that will be good for historical reasons for the South Sudanese. And also, if he has an advice for the South Sudanese on their country and how they can stay united as people of that country. Mr. President, to continue with some of the questions that I have asked earlier, I want to come to the issue of 1991. After your government was toppled in 1991, you left Ethiopia for exile, and Dr. John Garang left Ethiopia for South Sudan with most of the SPLA forces relocated back to South Sudan, and most of the SPLM officers moved to Nairobi. From that time, did you or Dr. John Garang met again? Or did they decide to abandon you because you were not in power anymore?
Yes. He, until they sit for negotiation with the southern, with the northerners in Nigar, we were meeting frequently. But after the meeting, or the last meeting, he was not able to come to Zimbabwe. He tried for me to be there during the last negotiation. Mengistu is our comrade, and he is part and parcel of the movement. He must be with us. He requested both Kenyatta, Arif Moi, the president of Kenya, and the rest. Well, you know, there was enemy of Mengistu there. Both Americans and the rest. So they didn't agree. And they didn't agree for me to go to Nairobi and be a part of the negotiation. So Comrade John explained to me his sadness. And I told him, no, the point is for you to liberate your country. It doesn't matter whether I'm there or not. From that time on, I didn't see him. When he go to the Sudan, he was trying several times. He couldn't manage to do that. So he died when I saw him.
In July 2005, it came as a shock as the world was told of the disappearance of plane traveling from Uganda carrying Dr. John Garang. Most of the South Sudanese became aware the following morning that Dr. John Garang was dead. And it was a shock to many of the South Sudanese, especially the civilian population. Were you able to know how did Dr. John Garang die and who told you?
Well, I heard like anybody else in the open media, and some of the southern comrades have also explained me. I don't know. His death is something difficult for me to understand until today.
Again, on the point of Dr. John Garang, Garang was described by many people as a charismatic and intelligent leader. You were a leader of another country, but you were with Dr. John Garang, and you might know more about him. If he was here today, knowing the situation South Sudan is in now, do you think South Sudan would have come as an independent nation under John Garang, or Sudan would have stayed as a united federal and secular state?
Well, that history has passed now.
Okay.
and I prefer to tell you the truth. I prefer to see Southern, independent Southern
Sudan,
a strong country.
Okay. This is a question to Mengistu Haile Mariam. Various media and Ethiopian media as well have been reporting that you advised Robert Mugabe. Is that true or is just something that they're making up?
No. This is just rumors.
Okay.
There is nothing that I can advise him. That's not true. He's a friend, yes. But I did not do anything in his Zimbabwe government.
Okay.
That's not my business.
After the formation of the SPLM-SPLA in Ethiopia in 1983, the relationship between you and Dr. John Garang became closer and closer. But there is one relationship that is not well understood. The relationship between you, Dr. John Garang, and Fidel Castro. Many people say that Dr. John Garang was a friend of Fidel Castro, and there is no report that confirmed the meeting was there. Is there anything that you can tell the people of South Sudan about how did the relationship came to being and who was the champion of this relationship? If you can tell us also some of the students and officers who were taken to Cuba, did you initiate this or was that done by Dr. John Garang?
Comrade John and Fidel has not met at all.
Okay.
Fidel Castro is perhaps the best friend of mine in that part of the history. Very close friend. We have so many cadres, students in Cuba. So one day, I don't remember how, we raised the situation of the South struggle. And I told him everything. He was willing to support. One of the support is to teach the Southern children in Cuba. The children, many children. Yeah, around 600 was taken by ship at once, and then continue the rest. On the other hand, we also sending a cadre, a fighter, SPLA, for SPLA. We have trained a lot of cadres there, man and woman. But I do not remember Comrade John and Fidel Castro have seen each other. This is how the
session
was gone.
In the bapping Niger, Tonga, Kayin Lubaka Kor, Gorbe, Nachitara Yuk, SBS, Tongunin Jam, Kane, mobile apps. Pinna Kachela came in India, could you catch a Piachal, Kabakata, Cheke Chal, Pake Kor, Chaguetwing, Kuadeto Tanong in Koch, Nangil Wilke, Neta, the Chiel, Kayin Luba walk to it, Yuntung Dun, Chagor, Nikilwil, Lonathan Dunga Gugulik. Kulor Lumatur Tongdun Injam Mantone SBS language app kana Google Play.
In Ethiopia, people describe you in different terms based on their understanding of you. Those who supported you during your leadership will totally view you as a person who stood up for your country, but those who oppose your ideas will totally give the opposite description of you. Now, when it comes to the issues of South Sudan, People in South Sudan consider you as a freedom fighter for them, a man who stood by them by the time the world turned their back on them. And before many of that, is there anything that you can tell them that they don't know? Because many of them are getting surprised that you are still alive and they don't know that you are there.
My enemy always killing me, you know, several times. This is their wish. But I'm here. You know, there's a thousand people are now listening to me. I'm not dead. I will not die. I will stay for some time, I believe.
Yeah, because you are still on your 70s now and a former military man, I think you keep running and you are healthy. I hope so.
I'm completely healthy, feel healthy. 70 years is not really that long as comparing to Ahmed Mugabe today.
Okay. Then in 1991, when your government was coming to an end, when it was being toppled by the EPLF and the rest of the Liberation Army that were fighting you, some of the South Sudanese people who were in Jima and some of the other Ethiopian cities volunteered and they gave their lives for you. Is that something that you were aware of because some of them have died there? Or is that something that Gerang only knew and you were not told about it? And if that's so, what do you know about it? And what did Gerang tell you as a person because your government was going to fall and the support of SPLM was going to be the end?
Well, let me tell you another a big history, probably. Comrade John have come to me at the end of my government. I was in a very difficult situation at that time. Many enemies were fighting me within and without. So the southern SPLA leadership was ready to pull from south, bring the entire army into Ethiopia and fight for our Ethiopian revolution. I said, no, you go and you liberate your country. And I said, I had enough. I have tried my best to my ability to make that country socialist. But now there is enemy everywhere, within and without. Russia is betray us. So you go and liberate your country, I will leave Ethiopia. He's the only person I know that I'm leaving. And he said, okay, went back to his job to fight.
So you are telling me that Dr. John Gerang was the only friend who stood by you by the time things were getting worse and he was ready to defend you?
I have no doubt about that. John Gerang, for me, is not only a comrade. He's just a brother for me. He's a very honest man, very intelligent man, and he should do anything in his power if I ask it anything. But I didn't. I was only hoping that he will liberate that country, not to bother to do anything for Ethiopia. Ethiopia must fight their own problem in their own country.
That means if you could have listened to John Gerang to bring his forces to support you and help you, you would have fought your way back to the leadership of Ethiopia. Is that true?
Yeah. The SPLA forces could do many things, very important things. Probably we could really fight back the Wayane. But I didn't want to Southern Sudanese to die in Ethiopia while they are dying for many years in their own country by the Arabs.
In terms of the decision that you have made in that to leave Ethiopia because most of your friends were turning on you and some of them were not ready to be changed, do you think that was a clever decision for you and your family to avoid what happened to Gaddafi recently?
Well, this is a very sophisticated situation which we cannot really talk it on the telephone.
Okay.
The Ethiopian situation is a very, very much complex situation, that much more than that you estimate or know. You see, the situation is not only in Ethiopia. The reverse of the Ethiopian revolution is not because of our problem in only Ethiopia. It was a world problem. The entire world revolution was, at that time, you know, Russians, Chinese, Eastern Europe, and everybody else was against the revolution idea by the support of the West, mainly in the American imperialism. So I was fighting with the, I can say, with the entire
world.
you know, with the world. And the reactionary in Ethiopia is not only Wayane or Tigray or Eritrea. There are the former aristocrats are there. The Oromo are there. And then later on, my own comrades was are not really with me. They want to me declare and abandon socialism. Oh, I cannot do that. I prefer to go live in my country.
Mr. President, in African countries, tribal, sectional, regional politics are affecting the development of African countries. This is because people choose to prioritize their tribes, their sections, or their region more than the nation that they are all in. That look into the diversity of the people, cultural differences, and the way they can live as one society. Based on your experience and Ethiopia being one of the multicultural countries in Africa, how will Africa get out of this problem, the way it is now affecting most of the countries? They go into development, then regional and tribal politics then affect that development again. People go back to war. What can you give based on your experience?
This is a very difficult situation and the question. You see, one African country is different than the other. There are so many complex problems in every country. So Southern Sudan too. My humble opinion is the SPLM is the army of liberation. SPLM is the leadership of the movement. There are two things there. Both organizations must be very strong and united. You must have united, strong revolutionary party in the Southern Sudan in order to bring every tribe sector in one unity, which is united, strong Southern Sudan. Unless you do that, I don't think that anything can be done easily. The army is very important. United army. Only one army for the South and one strong party which could unite the people. These two things are very important to me. The young people have to follow the leadership of that revolutionary party.
Now,
because that party has liberated that country.
During the time you supported most members of the SPLM, were you able to tell them exactly how it is that a multicultural society like South Sudan and that one of yours, Ethiopia, can be managed? In contrast to the government systems and the grouping of people,
there are a very few people on a small part of our country. The situation is very complex, and there are so many problems. I am not just encouraging people wrongly at the wrong time. The situation was not that much amicable for everybody. Even today, that strong party of ours and genuine and revolutionary young people are not existing in Ethiopia today. The situation is entirely different.
The last question that I would be asking you, Mr. President, is the status of your relationship with the current leadership of SPLM, especially the President of the Republic of South Sudan and the current leader of opposition, Dr. Riek Machar. You might have met Salva Kiir Mayardit, the President of South Sudan, during the liberation times.
Several times during the struggle. Later on here in Zimbabwe, yes.
In that regard, what advice have you given him in terms of uniting the 64 tribes of South Sudan? And how will they achieve a good nationalistic agenda that can let these tribes coexist as one people in a secular society of South Sudan?
Salva is, I believe he's well aware of this situation. He know what he's doing, you know what this means. Of yes, if we have a chance to meet, we can exchange ideas.
Do you know Dr. Riek Machar, who is now the head of the SPLM in opposition, and have you ever met him recently?
I know him during the struggle in different way.
Okay.
We haven't seen each other face to face.
Okay.
I know him. I know him. Who is he? He was one of the leaders in the movement.
Okay. To our audience who will be listening to this interview, this brings us to the end of the interview with the former president of Ethiopia, Mengistu Haile Mariam. I am Ajang Dinchenko of SBS Dinka Radio in Australia. This interview was broadcast on the context of history for our South Sudanese audience in Australia and the world, those who will be listening to us on the internet, and those who will also be accessing this interview. I still thanks and appreciate former president of Ethiopia and those who helped us to get him to interview him for the opportunity that he gave us. I hope you will enjoy it. You can go to sbs.com.au/dinka. That's where you will be listening to the rest. You can also follow us on our frequencies in Australia, and those who are able to get us on the internet, you can also download our apps, and that will help you to listen to us anywhere.
Thank you very much, too. I'm also happy to talk to you and to talk with the Sudan people through you.
Thank you a lot.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. SBS Atone Australia, Kaya Kunum Tung, Dakunimi Chiel, Kunangatek, Retic, Nibian Kayen Kachel, Kulegi Lekot, Eto Kok Kunitongajan, called by Atokin Ping, Nakanon Kubi Jack, Nupi Dui, Kukabinan Kubi War, Kubaya Yung Lik, Nakalachuk, Nakukul Yerulwil, No Australia, Kunapinaban, Kubaya Nonki Yelwil, Nibian Kajit Yerloi, SBS Ato, Kaya Kunum Launum, Nibian Lik, Kutuk the Kokot.